Our first reading is on page 991, Acts chapter 1, 1 through 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented them alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days, and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the time or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing upward toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This is Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come again in the same way that you had seen him go into heaven. Our second reading is on page 965, Luke 24, 44 through 53. Then he said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning with Jerusalem. You are witnesses of all these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifted up his hands. He blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God.
Thanks, Larry. Thank you, Robin.
Wally?
The title of my sermon this morning is, Uh-oh, Now What? And today is Ascension Sunday, as you heard in the readings. Let's think about ascension. The Bible describes ascension as Jesus going up. And, you know, a lot of people think about heaven is up, hell is down. And if that makes it easy for you, that's fine. But it's not as simple as that for me. We know too much about it. Are astronauts closer to heaven? I don't think so. So for me, and you can, you know, there's lots of room for working out this in your own faith journey. For me, heaven is where we will meet God spiritually. It's not a particular place. It's not a particular up or down. But the description back in the days of the Bible were he rose to heaven. So that's where that ascension comes from. Now, the point of ascension is that Jesus is no longer with the disciples and his followers. Their leader is gone. He's not there to answer questions. He's not there to teach them anymore. He's not there to comfort them. He has ascended to God. He's not there anymore. Now, is that a what next moment? For them, it had to be, what do we do now? So you look at the history of what's been going on with the disciples. Jesus arrives out of the middle of nowhere, a carpenter who said, "Follow me." And the disciples dropped everything and followed him. Amazing process. They dropped everything. They were just common people. And they dropped everything to follow Jesus. And so, he was their Messiah. He was their leader. He was their rabbi. He was who taught them about God, who was God in their eyes. And the high point was when he came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Everyone likes to be with winners. And that's not why they were with Jesus, but they still like it. In human nature, to enjoy, wow, see how triumphant Jesus is. That's a high point. Not even a week later, low point, Good Friday and the crucifixion of Jesus. Then he rises. Jesus has risen. He has risen indeed, right? On Easter Sunday. Wow! I know he told us this was going to happen, but to understand that, to understand what he was really saying to them, is a lot to ask. And so for 40 nights or 40 days, he was with them. He came to them and he taught them. Now, 40 days in the Bible is not 40 necessarily 40 chronological days. It's a long time. That's probably the easiest way to think about it. And he taught them and he gave them lessons and he prepared them for the what's going to happen now moment. But when it happens, it's okay to see it's coming. It's all ready to get prepared for it. But when it happens, there's got to be a moment. And what was he asking them to do? To be witness to him, to go forward with him, to push the gospel and preach the gospel to those around, to be Christians in their lives at a time when Christian is not exactly the easiest life there is. And in fact, in many ways, their lives were threatened by being Christians. Did they do it? Well, we know they did. 2,000 years later, we still are able to celebrate the faith that they started. And so, what really happened in that process? Jesus and God said, "I trust you to push this forward without me helping you." God gives us free will, a significant point. God does not force us to love him. God gives us the free will to love him. And he asks that we love him, and he loves us back. And he teaches us what that's all about, what love is all about. And Jesus did that. That was part of what he was going to do. And he empowered them when he left them to engage their free will, to risk their lives, to risk their very being, to go out and preach the gospel, the word that God and Jesus had given them. And they did that. And some of them lost their lives doing it. But we have the church and we have the message of God that Jesus gave us today because of their actions, their free will. And so, what is the impact or the implications of Ascension Sunday for us 2,000 years later? The implication is we still have today free will. Free will is what God gave us. He could have designed us to say, "That's it, no free will." You're going to do it this way, and that's it. And there's a little string in the back of our body that goes up and down when he wants our mouth to move. But he didn't do that. Now, free will to love God is a wonderful thing. Because when you do it out of free will, it's so much sweeter. As opposed to being told, you will do it this way. It's so much sweeter. Now, free will also causes some problems, doesn't it? Because people use their free will to do things that are not what God intended or what God wants. But those of us that are Christians must use the free will to continue to do what the disciples and followers did 2,000 years ago. We need to be God's hands on earth. We need to be God's voice on earth. We need to go forward and do the things that God needs to have done on earth for us. Free will. You can choose to love God or not. I choose to love God and Jesus. How about you? Amen.